In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we do this first or second, however you want to count it, Sunday, which is Mercy Sunday. There's a nice article, if you want some background on this Sunday, brief, in the Wikipedia article that's online, just Divine Mercy Sunday, and it's a nice article, and it gives you the background, if you're not familiar with it, where you can study it. The thing that's so important in this is the Lord seems more intent in convincing of us of His mercy than anything else. Saint Gertrude was the first one to have a devotion to the Sacred Heart, I mean an explicit one. Then our Lord came to Margaret Mary Alacoque and had that established as a liturgical feast, and He did with Saint Faustina and this feast that we're celebrating today. And so, then Thérèse, who gave her life as a victim to the merciful love of God, and then Faustina, who did the same thing and was instructed, and like Margaret Mary Alacoque, she too was told to tell the Pope, I want this feast, and we have it. And so, it's a feast of mercy. It's a feast about mercy. The text, the Latin text, Dives in Misericordia, is the Latin for the text that I'm going to talk to you a little bit about right now as we get ready for the readings. This text is found in Exodus 34, verses, the whole thing, 5 to 9. Exodus 34, that means we're just after the golden calf incident. The people have been saved from Egypt, and they're there, and they just get there in the desert, and Aaron decides they have to honor the gods who got them out of Egypt. And so while Moses is at the top of the mountain talking to the one true and living God, they're at the bottom, make it a calf, they're going to worship. And that's bad. And finally, as you know, God says to Moses, leave me alone, I'm going to blot them out, and I'll make of you a great people. Moses says, in effect, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out too, which was just what God wanted to hear. That's mercy. So he's a type of the Lord who did suffer the effect of all of our sins. Moses was an intercessor. So then, I told you this before, the great Jewish commentator, Rashi, medieval commentator, as he's commenting on this, says, the Lord said to Moshe, I'm going to teach you a prayer. You've been praying to me, asking me to have mercy by looking at the merits of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to give you a prayer now that will always be there and will gain my mercy. And so he passes by. And as he passes by, he teaches Moses this prayer. And you know the prayer, you've heard it. So Adonai came down in a cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, there, and he called B'Shem Adonai. He didn't, I guess, all right, he called on the name of the Lord. It's his own name. And Adonai stood there, and he called out, Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Vachanun, a God who is merciful and Rachum, merciful. It comes to the popular etymology, Rechem, which means the womb. He feels for his people the way a mother feels for the child of her own womb. And he's Chanun, he's gracious. He's Erek Apayim, he's long suffering, great patience, however. Barab Chesed, he's rich in Chesed, the Emet. He's rich, and that's where the title comes. Dives in misericordia, you see. He's so, God is so wealthy. Of course, he owns the whole universe. But his wealth is concentrated in his hesed and his truth or fidelity. It's such a beautiful text. He visits this, you see, keeping chesed to the thousandth generation and punishing the sins, but not for a thousand generations, only for Shurashim generations, three generations. And Moses was there and he worshipped. And then he prayed. And if I have found favor in your eyes, Adonai, come, go with us, and be in our midst, because this is a people of a hard heart. Be with us, or we'll betray you again. Now, in that setting, you see, we have this notion of God as being Rav Hesed. Rich, great, in mercy and fidelity, I guess. I forgot to have an English translation for this section. So, but he's rich in chesed and emet. Chesed. That's what this feast is all about. And our Lord has insisted that we celebrate this feast, because the only way we're ever going to really obey him with a full and open heart, caring about him and about his world, is when we know how rich he is in mercy. And so that's the background of the feast is, as most of you know. Now, in the encyclical, Dives in Misericordia, rich in mercy. You see, we have, I'm going to read some of them. In Jesus Christ, every path to man, as it has been assigned once and for all to the church in the changing context of the times, is simultaneously an approach to the Father and his love. And the Second Vatican Council has confirmed this truth. Then going further, thus making known, this making known of God reveals God in the most profound mystery of his being, one in three, surrounded by unapproachable light. Nevertheless, this making known by Christ, we know God above all in his relationship of love for man, in his philanthropy. It is precisely here that his invisible nature becomes in a special way visible, incomparably more visible than through any other way things that have been made. It becomes this mercy, becomes visible in Christ and through Christ, through his actions, his words, and finally through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So this whole encyclical, which is written at the inspiration of Faustina Kowalska's diary, The world must know about the mercy of God. One of the great reasons for yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is so that we can show by who we are the mercy of God. And as you know, especially if you read that article, there's a plenary indulgence, forgiveness of all your sins. If you go to confession, if you do, in this period of the Divine Mercy Sunday. In other words, God does not want conformity. He wants trust and love. He wants us to be able to know what we say when we say Abba. And so, this is Mercy Sunday. It's the Sunday after Easter. You could call it like the first Sunday in Easter time, since Easter starts. Or you could call it the second Sunday. Depends. The liturgical books usually speak of it as the first Sunday of Easter. In this way, I'm going to read a few more quotes from this encyclical. In this way, in Christ and through Christ, God also becomes especially visible in His mercy. That is to say, there is emphasized that attribute of the divinity which the Old Testament, using various concepts and terms, already defined as mercy. One of those terms is hesed. That's why Rav Hesed, I just showed you in prayer that God taught them and us. Christ confers on the whole of the Old Testament tradition about God's mercy a definitive meaning. Well, what is all this mercy of God? How do I understand it? Look at Jesus Christ. Look at Him on the cross. Look at Him taking all that suffering of the world on Himself so that we could be inundated by mercy and live eternally by mercy. You see, not only does He speak of it, Christ, and explain it by the use of comparisons and parables, but above all, He Himself makes it incarnate and personifies it. He Himself, in a certain sense, is mercy. To the person who sees it in Him and finds it in Him, God becomes visible in a particular way as the Father who is rich in mercy. Isn't that marvelous? And that is the way God wants to be honored. And if we do honor Him that way, we have such a loving respect for Him, such a desire to be with Him, such sorrow when we sin, such desire to obey Him, because we've been won over by mercy. And that is the whole point of these quotes that I have. I'm going to read like one more. In this act of salvation by the Lord, the prophet perceived His love and compassion. This is precisely the grounds upon which the people and each of its members based their certainty on the mercy of God, which can be invoked whenever tragedy strikes. Then the next number, added to this, is the fact that sin too constitutes man's misery. And so, by forgiving sin, He is rich in mercy. Now we're going to start considering the texts.